small groups, encouraging spiritual transformation in small groups, being with Christ and one another in grace and truth. I want to focus on basic attitudes, basic beliefs that have to be present in order to experience grace and truth, in order to be with Christ and one another in grace and truth. The basic focus, I believe, if you want to experience spiritual formation, transformation, growth, as a result of being in a small group, this would probably be true as well in church services, but the focus has to be on learning to know Jesus Christ in all His grace and truth, and learning to come to Christ and one another to experience Christ in grace and truth. I think it's true that only as we experience Christ, the grace of Christ, the truth of Christ, can we grow. And so the question is, how can this happen in a group? Okay, some basic realities. Every person has two things going on inside of them. They have two realities. Everybody does. Everybody. You do, I do. Okay? Okay, my goal here is for us to get into what I call reality. Okay? Truth. All right? Let's be honest about what's true about us. Okay? And people who help other people, people who pastor people who disciple people who are parents, pastors, anyone who has responsibility with people, teachers in classrooms, we're responsible to help people get in touch with both of these realities inside. The one reality is people, I think all people have a desire to know, love, and be in relationship with God. I think all people have that inside somewhere. Okay, I think often that desire is deeper than the stuff that's going on. And some people are not very aware of it. They're not very aware that they really do want God. I think even people who are doing very poorly and say they're mad at God, or they're living a life that it feels to you like they can't possibly want to do well or live right. I'm saying somewhere below all of this stuff, I think they do have a desire to know God and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm saying that's one thing that's going on. But then there's this other thing that's going on that we're probably more familiar with, and that is they have a desire to run their life, to live a self life. Okay, and they might not be too aware of that. But they don't want other people telling them what to do. They're fed up with God, and they don't want God telling them what to do. Okay, so then you ask them to, well, surrender to God. Well, they don't trust God enough to surrender. Okay, self-life, selfish. Okay, that's going on inside too. Okay, do you see what I'm saying? These two things going on. Okay, you can. People don't grow well unless they see these two things. And you can be in the habit of helping people see how bad they are. Okay, people need to see where they're wrong. Okay? There are times to help people see that they're out of order. Okay? But you know, don't you, that you can't do that all the time. That can't be the only thing you do with people. You also have to help people see. If they can't see that they really want God, sometimes they will be hopeless. Okay, I'm just a bad person. That's all I am. I mean, hey, why don't you give up on me? I mean, you know, I'm just a mess. I'm just a rascal. I'm no good. And they say these things about themselves, and then you're there, and you're just agreeing with them. Yeah, you are. You really are kind of a jerk and whatever, you know. Well, probably what's true, we're all kind of a jerk sometimes, but that is not who we want to be. Okay, so we need help to see both of these, and there are times when it's right to help a person see one as opposed to the other. Okay, now you know this without me telling you. When you're in a group of people, it becomes more important what you do with each other. Did that make sense? It's one thing for me to be alone with somebody and say, you know, okay, can we get in reality here? And he's, yeah, I guess so. And I said, look, man, you're being a mess here. Okay, that's one thing. It's another thing for us to be in a group of five couples or whatever, and I say to a man, you are a disaster. Do you know that? Okay, I'm saying there's a right time and place to say these things. And how do we say it? Okay? So these two things, everybody has them. Okay? Then I want to say, I'm changing the subject a little bit. But there are two ways to be with people. There are two ways to talk with people. Okay? The one way is what I'll call self-talk. And I'm taking this term from, and maybe I shouldn't tell you because you might just turn me off. But I'm taking this term from Larry Crabb's book, Soul Talk, which actually is a very, very good book to talk about these kind of issues. Okay, self-talk. All right? By self-talk, I mean the natural talk of self-protection, self-sufficiency, self-absorption. It's the language that tries to make me or someone else feel better, cope better, make life work better. Self-talk. Okay? Now, when it comes to walking with people in life, we probably all know that the circumstances of life can be very, very confusing and hard and painful. And what in the world is going on here? It's so painful. It's like if I don't get some relief here, I'm going to die in this. And so we talk to our friends, and if they don't express some understanding and sympathy, we can't handle it. All right? I'm not criticizing walking with somebody in sympathy and giving them comfort. Okay, but if your only goal is to help a person change their circumstance or feel better about what they're experiencing, if it's all about feel better and help them cope better and try to rescue them from this difficult circumstance, if that's all it's about, it's not going to bring lasting change. Okay, I'm not saying that's all bad, but it can't be the only thing that's happening. So I would say the most important thing in any situation is not just primarily to change the circumstance or to make life better or to fix a problem, but to help a person want, above everything else, to know God in the situation. Who is God in this situation? Who does he want to be for me? What does he want to do in this situation inside of me? How does he want me to trust him here? What is he calling me to here? What is my responsibility here? Okay, now I know that kind of language, as I said before, it can be very, very hard to hear if you're too low. I know that. But I'm saying, if all we do is self-talk, then when you're in a group, what people are doing, like in a small group, in Sunday school, you're just generally, if that's all you do, you are on surface stuff. Am I making sense? You're just on surface things and circumstances. And it can be very hard for people to be really honest about anything that's really painful. That's really hard. Okay, so self-talk. And the other term is soul talk. And this is what I was talking about this morning earlier. Talk that surrounds being in the pains of childbirth, being in the pains of growing up, and being formed and transformed in someone's, having transformation going on inside in the midst of whatever we talk about. Okay, I'm going to give you five stages of soul talk. Five phrases to think about. Okay, the first one is think beneath. Okay, there's always what I call a presenting problem or a circumstance or something that's not working. All right? Now let me say again, you have to talk about this. It's okay. It's okay to talk about this circumstance that's not working. That's fine. Okay? It's about doing two things at once here, talking and waving my hands and I'm knocking the glass off. That was close. Somewhere in our talking about circumstance, we have to get below the circumstance and think beneath it. Okay? We have to ask, in order to think beneath, we have to ask what is going on inside this person about the circumstance. What does God want this person to experience? How does God want to work in this person's heart, life, in the midst of this experience? How does God want to reveal himself more fully to this person in this circumstance? That's what I call thinking beneath. How does God want to redeem in this circumstance? How does he want to bless? Okay. Now, it's very easy for those of us who read books and think a lot about these subjects, these issues, to think that we know things. Okay, and you can go to school and learn techniques about how to do this, how to run a group, how to be with people, how to analyze what's going on with them, and techniques to use to address these things. Okay, and I'm not belittling any of that, okay? But There's a lot of value when you are with people to just be praying while you listen and ask God to show you, whatever He wants to show you about you, about them, about what to do here, what to say. I'm saying if you're going, in order to think beneath about somebody, it has to move beyond your intellectual analysis. It has to be something about God speaking into this situation. Okay, so think beneath. So when you're in a group and people are talking, then you want to be in prayer about what is being said, what you're hearing, and asking God, what do you want to do here? What do you want to say here? What do you want me to say? Do you want me, maybe I shouldn't say anything. Maybe I should say, I'm listening and I'm in prayer for you. To seek God in that. Think vision. Develop a vision for what the Spirit longs to do in a person's heart and life. Okay, often, I found this be this way for me. The tendency we have is the vision we have is not any bigger than what we can do. It's not any bigger than ourselves. Well, generally, I would say that what God wants to do, His vision for a person is beyond us, and we can't accomplish it. Does that make sense? We can't do two or three things and make this happen. It's bigger than we are. There has to be a miracle here. God has to do a miraculous thing by His Spirit. So think vision, and vision often has to be bigger than us. It requires the intervention of God. Think passion. Okay, now I mean here, think about what is going on in your own heart while you're sitting there listening in group. What is going on in your own heart? What are you thinking about? What are you feeling? Okay. I think sometimes when we are with people, what we are thinking and feeling is more about ourselves than it is about God or what God wants to do. Or even maybe about what the person is talking about. Okay, so what is our passion for this person? What is happening inside of us while we are there with them? And to be in prayer about that. What is happening inside of me? And I think sometimes in group it helps if I'm the leader. If I just admit, you've been talking 5 minutes and I wasn't listening and I am really sorry. Okay, can we back up and start again? Well, that's terrible, you know. But to have the courage to be honest. Sometimes in groups, people say things that really are hurtful. You ever had that happen? They were thoughtless. They were pressure. They were fixing things. What are you supposed to do when that happens? Maybe you don't even know you did it. But what do you do when you know it? Well, if you're asking yourself, what's the passion in my heart? What am I feeling? What am I doing here? And you see that, well, we could have the courage to admit it, to be honest, that I'm really sorry. Or to ask, how did that feel to you, what I said? Have an openness. Without the safety and openness, you can't have honesty in the group. Think story. Okay. Spiritual growth really, and the Bible is about story too. And I know there is content and there are commands and all of that, but it's the story of God The Bible is the story of God, the story of God in relation to mankind. People, okay, the way you assist people is by them telling their stories, their circumstances, the events of their life. And where was God in that? I don't mean just past things. I mean current things. So what's been going on in your life? Okay, that is about story. So think story. Be curious about the shaping events of the person's life. And people often are reluctant to tell their stories. They need help. They're scared. They don't know what people will do with it. And so we have to be safe with people, and we have to listen carefully and ask questions and be curious for their sake and not just in order to know more about them. Okay? So think story. And then the last one I have is think movement. Okay? To think with people at the various levels of what they share. Okay, people start out and they'll tell you a little bit. Well, you kind of know there's probably more here. And the Spirit wants to do something deeper, to walk with them as the Spirit moves in their hearts, as they share, as they talk. Okay, requirements for transformation to happen. Thought maybe I had the sub-points here, but requirements for transformation to happen as a result of group interaction. Okay, the first one I have is the expectation that God is here and that He works and that people in the group can change. Okay, we have for a group to be productive. People, the leader has to know God in a way and have an expectation of God. That just know God is here and as we are together, God can work and people can change. The second thing, in a group, you have to cultivate safety and trust. Okay? This is not, you can't just assume because people are here, they just feel safe. We have to be asking people, how are you doing in the group? I mean, if you're the leader of a group, you have to be asking this. How do I feel to you? Do you feel safe with me? Does it feel like if you talk, I'm going to do something hurtful with you? You know, you have to be open enough if you're the group leader to be in conversation with group members. Do you feel like you're safe? Am I doing things that feel unsafe? Okay, the third requirement in a group is there has to be a measure of soul talk going on. If people are going to grow, there has to be, it can't be all about surface stuff. And you can't have members in the group who sit there and will never, ever say anything. That stifles everybody, okay? And if that's what's going on, someone has to find out what is the fear about. It has to be about fear or maybe indifference, but I would say fear. Probably fear. Okay, there has to be some soul talk going on. We have to be talking about real things that matter and talking about what God would like to do in our hearts, in our lives. And then there has to be some time of prayer about the things that people talked about. Does that make sense? You can't just talk about it. There has to be some prayer about it. Okay? You don't Okay, we're not the fixers. We're not the redeemers. We can listen. We can help people say what they need to say. But there ought to be a time of prayer, and it ought to be about the things that people talked about. There are people I talk with that I know that if I say too much myself, they will get worse. Do you understand that? My words are not going to help them. I know they won't help. But if I say to them, you can say whatever you feel free to say, and then I'll just pray about it. Well, some people are afraid of my prayers too, but okay. I'm sorry about that. I don't think it's because my prayers are out of order, but some people are afraid of anything they're not in control of, and when I'm praying, they're not in control of it. Okay. But soul talk and soul prayer, that needs to be going on in the group. The fourth one I have is development of belonging. There has to be in a group a development of belonging. Like people feel like they belong in the group, then they belong to each other. They're glad to be there and they feel like they're being received. They are being liked, cared for. That has to be going on in the group. The fifth one I have is active participation. For a group to work well, everyone has to feel safe enough. I mentioned this before. Everyone has to feel safe enough to be able to ask questions and share stories and share needs. I have two more. The sixth one is there has to be a commitment to Scripture as the bottom line base for what's true. It can't just be whatever I say. What does God say here? And the seventh one I have is there are ways to the kind of room you have, the kind of furniture you have, the way you sit in a room, and that sort of thing can affect the way the group functions as well. Okay. Options for things to do in a group. I'll just say you can have a Bible study. That's a good thing. You can study the Bible for the truth, the content, whatever the facts are. You can read the Bible and then you can talk about what it means. You can not read the Bible and just talk about life. Okay? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying here's the kinds of things people do in groups. I want to say the most helpful thing that you can do in a group is to have some Bible content, especially focusing on who God is and how He works in the world through the Holy Spirit by the work of Christ. You have some content about that, and then if people can talk about their life and if there can be an interaction about it, and then prayer. Okay, that is the way spiritual transformation can happen best, is if you have a combination and not just people talk about whatever and you get done and say, well, we were glad to be here and had a nice conversation. Okay, I think I have a few minutes here. Questions that help group members engage important heart and life issues, and I'll just give you several examples. John Wesley had five questions that he expected. They had groups. John Wesley had groups. I can't remember the name of them, but they asked these kinds of questions. What spiritual failures have you experienced in the last week? What temptations? What victories? With what sinful attitudes, lifestyle or motivations would you like our assistance? And do you have any spiritual problem that you cannot talk about? Okay, now I just want to say to you, these five questions I think for many people in a group would be very difficult. I think it would be hard for a lot of people to go to a group and answer these, especially if it's a mixed group. I think these were gender specific. That's one kind of question. Another kind, in what ways has God made His presence known to you? What temptations have you faced? What opportunities has God given you to serve Him, to bless people? Has God given you an opportunity to share your faith? That's a specific. In what ways have you been able to manifest the presence of God through your daily work? Okay, that's another type of question. All right? There are two simple questions that groups can focus on. When did I live out of love and freedom in Christ this week? Love, hope, generosity, and compassion. And when did I not live out of that? In other words, when was I angry, proud, jealous, anxious, in panic? Talk about that. Okay, obviously, this takes a fair amount of safety in a group. Okay, these two questions here are the questions that go with the prayer of examine. Those are the two questions. Okay. Hope you enjoy that snow thing. That is all I have for this time, for this Sunday school time. I'm right on time, too. That's good. I have that snow picture in because it snows where we live quite a bit. All right? Blessings to each of you here.